Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When the Apostle Paul tells us and the church in Corinth that he is a fool for Christ, he is not talking about clown ministries. He is talking, however, about the holy ministry, and St. Paul certainly was no foolish pastor. The pastoral wisdom he exhibited in dealing with the church in Corinth is timeless. According to St. Paul's own testimony, the church in Corinth was rich in every way, not lacking in any spiritual gift. But then, on the other hand, they seemed to be just the opposite. They were immature, worldly, and quarrelsome. They were filled with divisions, immoral behavior, lawsuits among its members, and false teachings about the resurrection. If that wasn't enough, the disorderly, irreverent worship practices were such that we see them echoed today in the worship wars. Women preachers, abuses in the Lord's Supper, chaotic practices in which everybody wanted to talk at once, speaking in tongues, and everybody wanting their own expectations in worship to be met. And on top of all of this, when Paul left for Ephesus, false teachers infiltrated the church in Corinth. In denying the message of the gospel, these false teachers also attacked the messenger. They attacked the ethical integrity of Paul, and they also attacked his divine call, his apostolic authority. So in today's text, the second letter to Corinthians, Paul gives a lengthy defense of his personal integrity and of his authority as a true called and ordained apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul begins with an intimate and heartfelt expression of his deep love for this troubled, contentious lot. He reminds them that this is the second time he's written, and concerning the first letter, he says, "I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you." And this love is again beautifully expressed in the way in which he goes about defending his apostolic authority in Corinth. Paul asks them, "Do we," that is Paul and Timothy, "do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you?" Now, letters of recommendation played an important and essential role in the early church. Paul doesn't discount the importance of authentic letters of recommendation. In fact, his epistles often served that purpose in which he recommended people he was sending in his place. Werner Ehlert's book, Eucharist and Church Fellowship in the First Four Centuries, details extensively the letters of recommendations that were necessary for both clergy and laity. It was common for heretics to move from place to place with forged documents. And if a layperson wanted to travel to another city or country, he was required to carry a letter of recommendation or transfer from his bishop if he wanted to commune at another altar. The implication, however, that Apostle Paul requires a letter in Corinth, though, is ridiculous. Paul had already been there. He had already testified to his apostolicity through miracle and preaching. One of the earliest liturgical documents in the first century, the Didache, gave some criterion for evaluating apostles who came into your town or church claiming to be apostles. And one thing it says, that if anyone says in the spirit, "Give me money," pay no attention to them. And here, Paul also never took money for his personal needs from this congregation. So Paul addresses the issue of the letter of recommendation, but with a surprising twist. Do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation from you or to you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered to us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Is Paul talking about the same congregation he describes in the first epistle? This disorderly, proud, contentious congregation? Yes. And now he tells them that if anyone in Corinth credits his questions his credibility as a true apostle of Christ, they should look at what his preaching and his writing has done to them. The gospel, the Spirit of the living Lord, has given them life, freedom from the law, given them righteousness. Their living response and confession in word and deed can be seen and heard by all. So Paul says, there's my letter. The Apostle Paul proclaimed the foolishness of the cross, but as a pastor, he was certainly no fool. Amid affliction, anguish of heart, and tears over this church, he responded with love, even praising the congregation. You yourselves are our letters of recommendation. As he was leaving church, a layman once said to me, good sermon, Pastor. Not the emphasis on once, but on good sermon. Before I could ask him what he meant, he continued on. He said, this morning you praised the congregation. He said, when I became a Lutheran, I became it because Lutheran pastors preach the Bible, they preach the gospel, they distinguish law and gospel. But you know what I found? Once in a while, it would just be nice if they would say some of the nice things about us that for which they are thankful. Well, that was little Peter Biardi. I remember this little Italian who became a Lutheran. I don't remember what I said nice about the congregation, but I'll never forget what Peter Biardi said to me. Amid affliction, anguish of heart, and tears, Paul responded to the Corinthians in love. He praised them. You know, some mornings, pastors, there are times when they just don't want to get up. They too may be filled with such angst that they don't feel any love for the flock, let alone desire to praise them. So where do you go for strength and sufficiency and confidence to be about your daily tasks? Power and authority lies in your divine call and ordination. You go and simply do what God himself has given you to do. And you say with Paul, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. One of the devil's most cunning attacks on the church and on the pastor is to question the certainty and integrity of the divine call and ordination. In times of church conflict, times of anguish, times of discouragement, the pastor should just take out a couple of those letters of recommendation, those two documents, the call and that certificate of ordination. And that call reminds him that I have been called to this place with its sorrows and its joys. And then he looks at his ordination and he remembers being on his knees and being given the office and the promise of the Spirit to be there when he does what is given to him to do. And he says, I've been put in this place by Christ and the Holy Spirit. My confidence and sufficiency lies in doing what the Lord has given me to do. So I'll preach the word and just plant it home. I will preach Jesus, and in him and with him, I will love these people. In the name of Jesus.